Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, it's Martin Malloy with McMalloy and Tony Martin.
And today, that daring prison escape at Goulburn, New South Wales. We've got an eyewitness account from a man in a blonde wig and glasses. The latest sighting of the Virgin Mary. Was she seen holidaying at Byron Bay? Mick's got the drum and it's chockers. We'll pay a visit to Australia's most annoying car salesman. In sport, we've got a Gazza update on Radio Gladiators. We're talking top nights again. We'll kick off the final week of Beat the Beasley, and joining us today, comedian Russell Gilbert. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that, like Wimbledon, is often enlivened by well-built streakers. Adam, good afternoon, Australia, and welcome to another week of Martin Malloy with me, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who over the weekend took part in a charming annual event of his own devising, the Running of the Bull, where he strips off and runs up his street shouting complete lies about his own sex life. Mick Malloy.
Yeah, it's true. This was after I unsuccessfully tried to launch the Running of the Mechanical Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't work, Dave.
Well, just a bit of local colour. But speaking of local colour, what about activities in Goulburn over the weekend? New South Wales Police are still piecing together the details of Saturday's daring escape from Goulburn Prison by convicted drug baron George Savvas. Goulburn Prison, is that the one that's inside a giant sheep?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think it is. Fantastic souvenirs there. But Savvas, who was jailed in 1990, decided not to complete his 30-year jail term. See, that's the thing about those 30-year jail terms. They require discipline. Mm. It's like joining a gym. You've got to stick with it. But no, George, like so many others each year, decided to drop out early, and with the assistance of possibly eight stooges, that's even more than David Copperfield requires to float his ass around the entertainment centre, George shot through. Now, how did he do it? Well, according to the police report, here's how the brilliant plan unfolded. 12:30 p.m., two men wearing several layers of clothing sign in to visit the drug baron. So as not to arouse suspicion, they use the names Jay Donovan and R. Downey Jr. How many extra layers of clothing were they wearing? Well, they apparently both looked like they were on their way to play a one-off $1,000-a-seat gig at the MCG. And whenever they walked, the distinctive sound of corduroy pants friction on the inner thighs could be heard as far away as Solitary. When asked why they were so heavily dressed, one man replies, we heard that 24 jumpers equals one skivvy in winter and we don't own skivvies. 1:40 p.m, Savvas visits the toilet to secure an item with which he will cut his way out of his zip-locked prison overalls, which, as we know, all inmates wear so as to retain their original mountain freshness and zesty flavour. Now, he's not taking any chances because in the toilet he secreted a Stanley knife and a razor and a shard of glass. I wouldn't have been surprised if Tim Shaw had been in the next cubicle along passing him a selection of steak knives. But anyway, 7 minutes past two, a series of distractions break out simultaneously in the visitor's area, including another inmate and a female visitor becoming locked in an amorous embrace. I think a couple of guards had to turn a hose on them. Another inmate and visitor begin a heated argument. I think Baby John was pushed. No, he retired, etc. And several other inmates and visitors launch into a seemingly spontaneous amateur production of Cats. And while all the guards are tearfully singing along with memory, Savvas makes his move. While two or more accomplices, presumably dressed as a pantomime horse, block the view of security cameras, Savvas cuts his way out of his overalls, wastes a good 30 seconds going, Stanley knife, razor, bit of glass, just can't decide. Realises he doesn't have time for a full Mrs. Doubtfire, so just slips on a blonde wig and glasses. No guard bats an eyelid when the two overdressed visitors leave, having seemingly undergone a miracle weight loss program and now accompanied by Garth from Wayne's World. But anyway, Savvas's escape has proven so successful, he's now being represented by Harry M. Miller and will be repeating the escape twice nightly with matinees on weekends, bookings through Bass. He's also considering an $8 million offer for a one-off demonstration escape, which commentators say even he won't be able to pull off. That's right, he'll have just 1 year to escape from a loveless marriage to Princess Diana.
I turn to the world of religion today.
Oh, as you so often do.
Yep, because the big news is she's back. The Virgin Mary has popped up again, this time on the wall of an Anglican church in Yankalilla.
Right.
More than 1,000 people visited the church in South Australia last week, drawn by the image of the Virgin Mary that many are calling a miracle.
Right.
Already the image has received national and international focus, and there is even talk of the church becoming a centre of pilgrimage.
Is that right? But she shows up everywhere.
Well,
now.
She's like Gillian Anderson.
She's at the shopping centres. Everyone's
been mobbed.
Exactly.
Can you see that happening? I don't think that you're going to have a pilgrimage in this country, can you? Unless, you know, the Channel 9 getaway program sends Lockie Daddo down to file a report, or Rex Hunt says the fishing's good down Yankalilla way, then you'll get a bit of a pilgrimage.
I'm there then.
1,000 people in a week, Tone, turned up. Jeez, it's a pity the Virgin Mary never turned up on the wall at any of our live gigs. Then we'd have sold some tickets. I distinctly remember leaving her name on the door. Do you think it may have had something to do with the fruity language?
Oh,
is that why she stayed away? You actually drew a fake one on the wall at one stage, didn't you? That dragged a few in. Mind you, they left pretty quickly having seen it. And, well, you can't blame them, really, considering it's the first apparition of the Virgin Mary to appear in stick figure form.
Oh, I did use the glasses and blonde wig that I got from a good buddy, George Savas.
And you put that little sun in the background, too. You're very clever.
Don't
answer me this. Why does she only turn up in churches? Why doesn't her image ever magically appear anywhere else, like, well, I don't know, on the wall of a TAB, behind the counter down at Dick Smith Electronics, on the chalkboard down at the pub? What about McDonald's? I've never heard anyone claim the outline of the Virgin Mary had appeared on the wall of a McDonald's, and I'd like to see that. In fact, for a bit of a laugh, she could appear in the spot where they put the photo of the crew member of the month. No, as long as she's going to the trouble of appearing, she may as well turn on a bit of entertainment for the masses.
Why not?
She's got huge pulling power, hasn't she?
There's
no doubt about it.
Yeah.
She's bums on seats.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Koppel and Paul Dainty have been trying to bring the image, her image, to Australia for years. Never got lucky. I had a crack at it.
Yeah.
I had a crack at it once, Tone. Told everyone I'd seen the image of the Virgin Mary appear on the side of a building. Shortly after, a huge crowd had gathered demanding to see her, so I took them to the building, pointed, and told them if they looked right up the top, you could see the faint image of the Blessed Virgin.
Is that right? And how did they react to that?
Not very well. They twigged pretty quickly it was a pancake parlour, and I was pointing to the chick they use as the logo. As one parish priest pointed out, Mick, I just think if the Virgin Mary had gone to such great lengths to communicate a message to us, it just might be slightly more substantial than lovely.
Radio. Of course, a party of five here at Martin Malloy.
Hi, I'm Reg Barry from Reg Barry Motors, and I thought I'd take a couple of minutes of your time to make a complete and utter dick of myself by appearing in my own ad. That's right, appearing in my own ad. For some unfortunate reason, most car dealers give it a crack at some stage, only to end up looking like a total dick whacker, and I'm no exception. What about my dignity, I hear you ask? Well, relax, because I've thrown it out the window. That's why I'm quite happy to be standing here wearing nothing but a nappy. And look, now I'm running around the car yard flapping my arms pretending to be a chicken. Will it help me sell any cars? Bugger if I know. Why don't we ask my twin sister, Regina?
Actually, it's just me again, wearing women's clothing, a wig, and putting on a silly voice. Don't get too close, or I'll hit you on the head with my handbag.
She's crazy, and so are you, if you wander in here expecting anything other than a dead set lemon. Look at these prices. $5,000, $3,000, a low, low $1,200. These are just a few of the bills my therapist has sent me. Watch now as I place them between two slices of bread and eat them like a sandwich.
I hope you bought enough for everyone, Reg.
Regina! So if you're looking for a new or used car, throw caution to the wind and come and see the team down here at Reg Barry Motors, where I'm not the only one prepared to make an absolute idiot of myself. Right, fellas?
You're not wrong.
Okay, give me three laps of the car yard, you lot.
Pay Reg Barry a visit now. He'd love to see you almost as much as he loves the sound of his own voice. Right, Reg?
Hey, buddy, how much time left?
Only a few seconds.
Okay, don't forget my name. Reg Barry, Reg Barry, Reg Barry, Reg Barry.
Reg, you're still in the dress.
Oh, sorry.
Reg Barry, Reg Barry, Reg Barry, Reg Barry. Oh,
Here at Martin Malloy, that's one of the songs we play for people stuck in traffic jams. It gives them the illusion they're actually advancing forwards. Hello to everybody stuck in a traffic jam today. What have we got for you by way of entertainment? Radio Gladiators.
That's excellent.
Coming up soon, we're talking top nights again, so have them ready. We've also got Russell Gilbert, a man who's usually had a top night. Yeah. He'll be coming in the next hour.
He's the top night specialist.
Russell Gilbert, comedian, butcher, gambler, keen karaoke man.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be coming in with a few snags for everybody.
Yep.
In the next hour, also Beat the Beasley is coming up. I think we
is
made...
Is this the final week?
It's the final week, and the questions are going to be bloody simple because there are a lot of complaints. And then on Friday, people are now saying you've made them too simple.
Oh, we've gone too far. We've overcorrected.
I think we have, because one of the questions was, name one of the bananas in pyjamas. Yeah. The bloke said B1.
He grappled with that.
Then we've said name the other one. He's had a bit of a think. Is it 7? Is it B7? 6? 12? Eventually he hit the B2. And got the prize. It's a fabulous prize, courtesy of our friends at Sanyo. It's a widescreen telly. It's a video. It's cleaners. It's food. It's everything. It's a whole shebang. It's one of the finest shebangs we've ever offered on this program.
Yep.
It's yours on Beat the Beasley in the next hour. But, Mickey, let's talk sport proper. What's happening in sport?
England's Euro 96 soccer star Paul Gascoigne has been questioned, Tone, by Hawaiian police after allegedly chasing a photographer along a beach before hitting him with a rock. Gazza, who is currently honeymooning in Hawaii, is reported to have thrown the rock at the photographer who had been pursuing him and his bride, Cheryl.
Right.
The photographer was taken to hospital for treatment to a head injury. Now, in soccer parlance, Tone, that'd be a header, wouldn't it?
I think that's a header.
Gazza piffed in the cross, and the photographer has attempted to head to the rock and been taken away on a stretcher. Now, I'm no soccer expert, but that would have to be a bookable offence. If you did that during a game, you'd have to be shown at least a yellow card. It's not a bad shot from the English striker. You know, if they'd settled that semi-final clash with the Germans in that fashion, I'm sure England would be European champions right now. Bugger penalty shootouts. The goalie should just stand there while the opposing team piffs yonnies at his nut.
Oh, fantastic.
There's a spectator sport.
Les Murray, he's fired up about it.
Let's see the highlights, Les.
Liquid football.
There you go. But on the beach... Do you reckon he sconned him on the floor or skipped it a couple of times off the water? Or maybe just stood over him and just, you know, let fly with a boulder, Nick Cave to Kylie Minogue style? Any way you look at it, it's a good way of dealing with pesky tabloid journos and photographers. Do you think it'll catch on? Are we going to see John Howard, you know, asked an ugly question at a press conference and respond by hauling off with a few well-aimed lumps of cobalt? Will Sean Penn turn up at the next film premiere with a wheelbarrow full of deadly nuggets? Will a pissed-off member of the Pax family start lobbing the contents of their rock garden at Mike Munro's noggin? Would you be able to pick Mike Munro's noggin out if he was hiding in a rock garden? Will I get in trouble for taking these unauthorized pictures of Michael Hutchins? Have you seen these?
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
Here at Martin Malloy, we're just looking at the watch. Yes, it's time for another week of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today, once again, we simply want to hear about your top night over the weekend. Everyone has a top night at one point or another.
It's mandatory.
I'll tell you who would have had a top night
Saturday. You don't, you're a dud.
What about that bloke George Savvas escaped from Goulburn Prison? He would have been
top night. After a pretty miserable 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it was.
He would have still had the blonde wig and glasses on, would have been dancing about, hanging from the chandeliers.
He'll be hosting a footy show next week.
He will be. Did you have a top night on the weekend, mate?
I did. What I like to do whenever I've got nothing planned is I like to hang around the stage door of theatre restaurants.
Do you?
Waiting for the performers to leave, and then I just pester them for autograph. I'll go up and go, were you a saucy knave? Were you a saucy knave? Sign this. Where are the bawdy wenches? How long will they be?
I love it.
It's been a couple of hours there.
Go for the jesters?
Go for the jesters? I go for anything. I'm a real groupie.
Toga? You go for somebody in a toga?
Anyone in a toga. Right. Oh, you're mine.
Somebody identifying themselves as a baron of beef, would you go for his autograph?
Sirloin. Want to see Sirloin's autograph? Got it on my back.
And I tell you what, were there any Planet Hollywood style openings over the weekend? That's always a top night. I was watching Entertainment Tonight last week, and they had the opening of the Planet Hollywood in Seattle.
In Seattle.
And it was all the same people showed up for the Sydney one, doing all the same shtick. Doing really? All the same lines. Oh, they obviously just do the same gear whenever they go.
Were they going, hello, Melbourne? Hello, Sydney?
They didn't even bother to change it. It was just hello, Sydney in Seattle. No, it was Bruce Willis. He was going, yippee-ki-yay, Seattle. He's obviously got his standard lines. They just do it everywhere. There was Jean-Claude driving the motorbike. There was Isla Fisher throwing up into a toilet. It was exactly the same. I couldn't believe it.
It's just yippee-ki-yay wherever we are today.
Yippee-ki-yay, insert new cash source here. Send money to Bruce and Demi's account now. They're opening casinos. Arnold Schwarzenegger's opening a Planet Hollywood casino, apparently.
A casino. So what, you go and you have your burger and then you gamble. If you've got any money left to gamble with after you paid for the rather pricey burger.
Oh, I think so. Mm. We'll talk about that with Russell Gilbert when he gets in here. But
here's something else I've done, Tate.
What have you done?
Oh, I'm filling in on this is something to do for a top night out. Is I stalk those Wilderness Society koalas.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Fans of their work.
Yeah, just follow them around, find out where they live, and then I pinch the seat and go and hold up 7-Elevens. It's a great way to fill in a weekend.
Do you notice?
You've got to have fun, Tate.
But do you notice how I'm not saying what I got up to on my top night? Here's what happened to me on Saturday. This isn't really a top night, but it could be the kind of story we're chasing. I've got a bit of a feud going with Dog across the road. Dog doesn't like me. Don't know why. Must listen to the show. Perhaps probably doesn't like some of the stuff we've been saying about Keanu Reeves.
Wouldn't can't get through on Gladiators.
Exactly. Some kind of nameless grudge has been going on. Anyway, ordered a pizza Saturday night and left the gate open.
Top night. Oh, no, I haven't finished yet.
That's almost a top night in itself. But I've gone, left the gate shut. Better go out, shut the gate. In the dark, gone out, walking down the path, suddenly just gone for a massive bloody skid. Just gone for a huge bloody skid. Gone back, turned
the
light
on. Did you have
the cartoon
legs going?
It was Fred Flintstone's car. And I've gone back to the front door, turned the light on, and the dog has seized the moment. The gate's open. Gates never open. Seized the moment. Come right in, foot from the front door. Just done a massive bloody dump.
There.
Laid a trap. Probably had a little dagger between its teeth. Blonde wig and glasses on. Snuck up there. And planned the whole thing. And I'm looking down and I'm wearing just socks. Isn't that a good feeling? So I've had to get the big tongs and those socks have just gone straight in the bed.
Did you put down a little chalk outline and call the cops?
There's an inquiry underway.
I've got to tell you, that wasn't
genius.
That wasn't the dog. That was another part of my top night out.
Right? I detected your involvement.
I'm a rascal. Don't take your eye off me.
It had your signature twist. But do we have a fabulous prize. We want you to tell us about your top night, and I know Gracie and our assistant Emma have been working on the prize music. They're cooking up something. Let's hear it, Gracie. Oh, I knew Emma's skills were being undervalued on the program.
She's a songbird.
I think so. What about tickets for you and a friend to see John Farnham live in concert, plus a Martin Malloy t-shirt? Very nice, Gracie. And that's not all. You'll also go into the draw, as you know, for yet another trip for two to Port Douglas, where you'll be staying at the four-star Port Douglas Treetops. You'll be flying Ansett Airlines. You'll be staying 7 nights. Simply call us up and try and think of something unusual. We want to hear weird stuff that you got up to on the weekend that constituted, in your opinion, a top night. 1-800-657-657. There, people. We'll edit that out for the black box recording. This is Martin Malloy. That was Gin Blossoms. We're playing Radio Gladiators, and today we're simply searching for your top nights.
Top night.
The idea here, you're sharing your top night with the nation and perhaps giving people ideas for the coming weekend.
Absolutely.
If you like the ideas, write them down, use them yourself. It's all free. Now,
make them your own.
Who have we got, Mickey?
We've got Marcus on the line. G'day, Marcus.
How you going, guys?
Not too bad. What you got for us in the way of a top night?
Well, it wasn't exactly a top night, what you called it. It was on the weekend. I watched the tennis.
Yep.
And before that, I watched a video.
Oh, right.
Ate heaps of food.
Yeah.
In the tracky dacks with a flannel on.
Oh, wow.
That's almost a top night. Now, what were you watching on the video?
Serial killer.
Top night!
So I'll tell you what happened?
Oh, probably not. But did the serial... Just answer this. Did the serial killer have a top night?
Not really in
probably
the end.
Not. Okay, well, that's a pretty basic one.
And then what were you watching? The Woodies? Were you watching the Woodies on the tennis?
Steffi.
You're Steffi. Do you like the women? So you're telling me you stayed over and watched women's tennis and that constituted a top night?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get out more, buddy.
I think we can possibly go better than that. Now we've got Christine. Christine, was your top night any better than Marcus's?
Oh, it sure was.
Yeah, what'd you do?
I jumped in the car with my brother and sister, right, and we drove around town just abusing people that were walking along the street.
Oh,
it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, top night.
Yeah.
What kind of people were you meeting and abusing?
Oh, like if we see fat people, we yell out, hey, you need to lose some weight.
Yeah,
or
okay.
If people have been to the shops, we yell out, hey, you dropped something, and they stand there for ages looking behind them to see if they have dropped anything.
See, hey, you can lose some weight. See, I find you can be more creative with the fat person, and being a real skinny bastard, this is really pretty much a full-time sport with me.
Yeah.
You drive along beside a fat person, and you give them a tuba accompaniment. So you just do a bit of this. You can do a tuba noise yourself. You don't have to have an actual tuba.
Oh, we'll try that next time.
Let's maybe get a tuba horn on the car.
Oh, we will.
There it goes.
Yes, come to me for all your entertainment suggestions. Thanks, Christine. That sounds
she
like
knows how to make her own fun, doesn't she?
Exactly. I suppose it's inexpensive, if nothing else. Mm-hmm. All right, we've got Robert next. Are you there, Robert?
Yeah, sure I am, mate.
What have you got for us?
Oh, mate, well, my top night started off a bad afternoon. Saturday afternoon, we were installing a skylight, me and a couple of mates. I thought, yeah, I'll help this bloke out.
Right.
I fell straight through the roof, and I hurt my kneecap. Excuse me. One of the guys said, mate, better take you to hospital, you know, because we're going out tonight. Went to the hospital, and they left me there and said, look, we're going out. We'll catch you. I'm thinking, great. Okay. Yeah. The nurse was very attractive, and then she checked me out. She said she was knocking off soon. Oh, yeah. And checked me out. It was all okay. And, mate, I didn't think it had happened, but then I stayed at the nurse's place and had a
So you've fallen through a skylight pretty much straight into the arms of your future wife.
Yes,
is that how this story's going to end up, Robert?
I don't know. We went out Sunday as well, and my mate said, oh, mate, you couldn't believe it. We were laughing at you when we went out.
Right.
And I said, I was laughing at you when I was...
Yes, I'm sure you were.
And Robert, is it fair to say you were receiving some intensive care?
Yeah, that's it. That's the word.
Dirty dog.
All right, Robert, that's a top night if ever I've heard one. Next, we've got...
There's going to be blokes going off the top of their roofs all week.
People who've had no luck at all with Date Finder are going to be installing skylights like there's no tomorrow. Okay, have we got Mark with us? You there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm here, boys.
Do you have a top night?
It started off as a top night. My wife, in an attempt to get me to make friends with some of hers, we went to a barbecue out on a farm a bit out of town here and having a few tinnies with the boys around the barbecue and talk eventually got on the guns and I voiced a few of my opinions.
And where are your opinions situated, mate?
Well, I pretty much agree with Jackboot Johnny.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't, and it turned out to be pretty much like a scene out of Deliverance developing there for a while.
You were at a gun lobby barbecue.
It seemed like it. I ended up hiding in the kitchen with the women for the rest of the night, mate. Really was a top night.
Did the guy cooking the snags have one of those shoot the chef aprons? He's a wag, isn't he?
Was Ian McNiven there with his fantastic impression of the PM?
No, I think they're all Ted Drain sons, actually.
Oh, damn, members of the Drain family. The Drain gang. And was there much talk of the Australia First Party?
Not a lot, but no. I think they'd be card-carrying members somehow.
Okay, well, you don't want to go to a country barbecue and start going in against the guns, I find, Mark. So you're a brave man and certainly a top night.
Top night.
All right, we'll move on to Sherry. You there, Sherry?
I sure am.
Did you have a top night?
Oh, yes, I so. It happened last night, actually. Watching a video with an old boyfriend. We're now friends.
You're right. What video was it? Wasn't the serial killer one?
It was Assassins, actually.
Assassins.
Yeah,
okay.
Really good. So, you know, sitting there watching that, my just recently broken up boyfriend decides to ring up and finds out my other ex-boyfriend's there. And
dear.
He just started to, like, come on over, and it kind of spilled out into the street.
Oh, so, you know, it's Assassins in the lounge room.
And it's like, no, you said this on Donahue. It's like, it's a real shocking night.
Well, let us play Ricky Lake to your... how did it end up? Was anyone rushed to hospital? Was there...
No, we had a few car chases. no police calls, though.
I see.
Oh, well.
Yeah. And how was it seeing the two boyfriends squaring off against each other? That must have been a bit of fun for you, bud, Sherry.
But they didn't. But they didn't sort of get their hands on each other.
No, they would have seen the funny side in the end, wouldn't they? They'll all get together and have a big laugh about it.
Oh, yeah. You know, the girlfriends love it when the current boyfriend meets the old boyfriend. They're always making a few notes and you get them later. All right. Thanks, Sherry. Next, we've got David. Are you there, David?
Yes.
Do you have a top night?
Well, it wasn't my top night, but for someone else it might have been. I an 87-year-old woman tried to pick me up.
What are the circumstances there? Were you in the audience of midday?
No. Let me set the scene for you. I'm actually a bingo caller down here in Canberra. And as I went to pay this lady the $10 she won for the line, she's 87, she's a regular, she said to me, "David, if I was 10 years younger, I'd snap you right up." Anyway, here I am thinking to myself, 10 years younger makes her bloody 77 years old, and she thinks that I'd be going for her.
Oh, dear.
87 so, years old, eh? How would you say that in a bingo call, David?
87.
I see.
Oh, very good.
I see. So you're not... Okay, so you wouldn't have... Even if she was 77, you still wouldn't have been biting there, David.
No, I told her if she was a few years younger, I'd probably snap her up myself, but I walked off with my finger in mouth.
But you were polite.
Very polite. I have to be.
Okay. Well, is that our winner then, Ricky?
Yeah, it could be. It's up to you. That sounds pretty good to me.
All right.
A bingo caller being hit on by an 87-year-old lady. Okay.
You got to win something for that.
All right.
Fantastic.
Well, listen to this. Firstly, you've got the tickets to John Farnham. And chances are she might be there, so you might have another chance to rekindle the romance.
I might take her along.
Okay, don't worry. No one will try and hit on you when you're wearing your new Martin Malloy T-shirt. And you've gone into the draw for that trip to Port Douglas, staying at the Port Douglas Treetops. Be listening this Friday, and you could be going.
Fantastic.
And they might be needing your bingo calling skills up there. I'm not sure.
Who knows?
Okay, thanks for playing, David. Thanks to everybody who took part. There were some beauties in there. And in the next hour, we'll be talking to somebody who I'm sure has got a top night story for us.
Oh, yeah.
Russell Gilbert.
This is Martin Malloy.
And if you think that a little chorus like that is going to change my view, then you are very sadly mistaken.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody.
In this hour of Martin Malloy, we kick off the final week of Beat the Beasley. We'll teach you a few inappropriate phrases for all occasions. And next up, we're on for a yak with Gilbo, Russell Gilbert. It's Beamer, baby. It's Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. And we've talked top nights. Let's bring in somebody who's sure to have had one. This bloke, you've seen him on Hey Hey, It's Saturday. He's the only guest who always brings us in a complimentary meat tray. Oh, well, him and Max Sharan. She seems to bring one in. But make him welcome, he's Russell Gilbert.
Ooh, there he is.
Hello, fellas.
Gilberto, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, a bit relaxed.
Have a good weekend? Top night? What happened?
Top night? No, I didn't do anything with it, this weekend that was top night, but we used to have a lot of top nights. We used to stick newspapers in our backsides at the Plough Hotel in Footscray, and we'd get drunk when we were about 17, 18, and about eight of us, we'd all take our clothes off, and we'd run around the bar with newspapers burning from our bums, and you had to make it all around the bar before it burnt your bum.
Oh, I see.
And that was a top night.
Now, Gilbert, I don't want to alarm anyone, but you used to have a paper round, didn't you? You didn't employ the same technique delivering papers.
No, you know this because I live with you. Yeah, I actually had a few clients of my own, so I used to count out a few extra papers. Is that what you're talking about? I used to have to deliver 88 papers, but I had 110 on my round. 22 paid me direct.
You know, what you've just described there, I'd like to see that as a gladiators event. You know, that'd get me watching gladiators.
Yeah, that's it.
Why isn't that going to be a demonstration sport at the Atlanta Olympics? Couldn't they bring the Olympic torch in like that?
Whacked up the back passage.
And here comes Gilbo. Yes. Oh, it's Cindy's bum.
Well, there you go. That'd get Bruce McAvaney talking.
Just get drunk and point at the sky with your mates too. That was fun in the summer. You get drunk in about 10 years, it'll point at the sky and go, it's unbelievable. And people used to just stop and look and try and work out what you were looking at. And I used to get them on video. And then we'd go back and we get drunk and watch the videos back. It wasn't on video. It was on old Super 8, actually. Fantastic fun. Just pointing to the sky. People going, what's up there? Can't you see it? And the people just told me it's up there.
You're making your own fun, Gilbert.
You're making it up as he goes along.
It's a skill. It's a skill. Now, what's happening in your life? What can you tell us about? Anything we should know about?
Oh, I'm putting on a bit of weight. And you were putting a bit of shit on fat people before.
We didn't bring it up. There was a member of the public who maligned people of the larger variety.
Ooh. And I've spent my whole life having fat people push shit on me, so it's a chance to get back. It's my only chance I get.
Yeah, well, I've put on a lot more weight since I left Mick. It's probably got a lot to do with, I get to eat all the food now, because when I was with him, he used to raid me fridge.
In case people don't know, Mick and Gilbo did cohabit for a while. a few years back.
I'm not cleaning that up. Well, I will then.
But I'm afraid, I think, Gilbo, you've told all the clean stories about those years on the show. I don't think any of your other stories are suitable for public consumption.
No. I can't tell you. Well, I understand you're moving again, Gilbo.
I've moved house, yeah. I've moved into a bayside area now, so near the beach, so that'll be handy for summer when I need towels, because best place to get them, you just go down the beach. There's 10 of them. Thank you very much.
Get down the beach. What's that up in the sky, everyone? Have a look up in the sky. And they turn around and all the beach towels are gone.
Oh, yeah, you see, you get handbags and everything. Yeah, it's very handy. Yeah, so I've gone to the beach, so that'd be good. I'll be wearing speedos.
And any reason why you left the previous abode?
I was living in Carlton for a long time in a Melbourne suburb. Mm. And the students used to come past and drive me mad, and they were fun. But just lately, there's a new batch in every year. There's a new batch coming for the first year, and they live at the school.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't wait to get out, but they want to live with it. That's stupid. And, we used to leave school after we burnt the bastards down, but they stay there, you know. Yeah. And the funny thing is, and they come past, and there's a couple, and they're banging on my door, and they're setting my car alarm off, and they're not just setting it off, they're jumping up and down on the car. So they finally beat me. I locked two of them in a dump master about 3 years ago.
Top night.
Top night, just for fun. Just had a bit of fun with them. And I sat and drank stubbies and talked to them. It was a captive audience. It's a true story. And I sort of became a bit of a legend. They sort of thought I was fun and stuff. But just lately, there's just a couple of young ones. I think it's two or three. They get drunk and they walk back and use my street as a thoroughfare. And they're just jumping on my car, set me alarms off. And I heard one kick me car the other day. So I end up moving. And so I'm down the beach now. I sold my house, so it's good.
What about moving? How do you? Didn't in fact?
Well, I didn't own the house, so the bloke I'm renting off's pissed off with me. Of course. No, I didn't own it. No, I was renting there.
But Mick, I remember a few years ago you were moving house and you were looking for a moving service, and didn't Gilbo recommend some kind of place to just take everything away?
I think it was a couple of his mates. They do those smash and grab robberies. I got a couple of mates who'll do it. Didn't tell me that to drive their van through my front window.
But don't I remember this phrase you were telling me, and this is what Gilbo said. You were going, now Gilbo knows these people, they're great. They come around, they take everything. You just leave everything as it is. Even if you've got a pair of jocks on the floor, they'll transport it and reposition it in your new place exactly as they found it.
That's if they find them sunny side up, that's the way they place them back down. They're very good that
way. I thought, there's a fantastic ad. They should be running TV. It's just a pair of jocks on the floor.
Yeah. Hey, you wouldn't touch these yourself, but hey, we'll pick those up. We're the professional movers.
All right, Gilbo, can you stick around for another moving break on Martin Malloy?
Oh, of course.
That'll be next on the Steve Show. Diane here at Martin Malloy, where Russell Gilbert's with us now. Gilbo, I saw a pretty funny little bit of you on, I think, KH Saturday or 2 weeks ago. You were teaching. You were out there with the kiddies, proper real kiddies, not actors. You were doing a bit of teaching. What was that all about? I mean, apart from a bit of comedy, obviously, that's what it was about. But do you possess any teaching skills at all, any qualifications?
No, none whatsoever. I mean, like I when I went to school, I finished Form 3. That was the hardest 5 years of my life. But I finished it. I was in the same form as my dad, actually. I just did that for a sketch. I went out there and with Paul Collegian and Kevin Blond, and we went out there and I filmed. And Paul Collegian is a comic about town, been touring Australia. And he's a teacher out there, and so I thought I'd teach his class. And they sent in, I get Russ to do it. Yeah. For Hey Hey.
Oh, that's what that was. See, I came in halfway through. I missed Russ will do it.
Russ to do it. Come and be a teacher. So they asked me to be a teacher, and I got a lot from different schools. And there's some stuff that really couldn't do. There's some true stories that would have been quite fun to do. Like there was a teacher just looking around through the toilets, walking through the toilets as they do to try and catch a couple of smokers.
Oh yeah.
The teacher's kicked the door open, and there's two guys just standing in the toilet together, and they've obviously just thrown the cigarette in the toilet.
Yeah,
and the teacher says, I can book you for one or two things here, fellas. And they went, we was smoking. smoking. We were smoking. We were smoking. That's what we were doing. Hey, here they are.
As opposed to selling contraband watches.
There
watch,
you go. That
watches.
Was the other option.
Well, doing something else. Mm. Been doing.
And did you bond with the kiddies? Was it like Dead Poet Society? Were they all up on the desks at the end going, don't go, Gilbo!
No, it was a little bit like that. No, what was it?
When you handed back the essays, Gilbo, were they flaming?
They were flaming essays. That reminds me of the essays when Doug Hawkins and me, Dougie Hawkins, a Footscray footballer who played at Fitzroy and also does a footy show now. When we were at school, I remember the classic stories when I actually, what was the highest mountain in the world?
All right.
And we were doing a test and I wrote, I don't know, and Doug Hawkins wrote on his, either do I. So they knew he copied.
Oh, I see.
So the game was up. The jig was up.
Now, don't you have your own kind of footy show now, Gilbo?
I work on a footy show with Dermot Burton. Dermot Burton hosts the show, and he does a wonderful job too. And also there's Sam Kikovic and Brian Taylor are regulars on it, and it's on Foxtel.
Oh, on Foxtel. Mm-hmm.
On Foxtel.
This is filmed live and in front of an audience. Is it at a shopping centre?
It's filmed live at 12 o'clock in the city of Melbourne, at Melbourne Central Shopping Centre, 12 o'clock. It's called Footy Fever, and it's on at 6 o'clock on Friday nights.
And how do you go filming a TV show in a shopping centre? Well, I mean, what are the basic differences from shooting in a television studio?
Well, there are some basic disadvantages. Like, it's four stories high, and often you might get a 2 cent piece or 10 cent piece thrown from. Or a half eaten Mars bar might just bonk you on the head from four.
Didn't before, you will now, Gilbo.
No, we have. They have security.
They have security.
They have security. You'll be
wearing a bike helmet on this week's show.
No, but they have a great... The audiences are fantastic.
Put a guitar case down, Gilbo. Maybe they'll lob them into that.
Now that you're hosting a footy show,
I sort of don't host it. Dermy does the main hosting, but I sort of just link and play bits and pieces.
But you're in there. Now you're there, does that make you kind of a big wheel in the footy game? Do footy players come up to you with tips and ideas? And are you in the secret club now, the footy club?
No, not really. No, I just read the papers and, watch my team play, which aren't doing very well. The next merging team.
Right.
You know, they sack the coach already. They sack the coach. They always do that. You can be a bus driver, right, and do interstate trips. And instead of going taking your passengers to Adelaide, you end up in Brisbane, and they blame it on the coach.
Okay, now Gilbo, so you've got that football gear happening on Foxtel, and I mentioned a little bit on Hey Hey It's Saturday. Why don't they give you your own special? You know, best of Red Faces and the worst of Red Faces, and they've had every other segment on their show. Mm. When's the Gilbo special coming?
They could package together. Sixth or even the four top half hours of just straight clean Gilbo.
No, but apparently Daryl was telling me that they were working on putting a couple of half an hours together. Mm. At the moment, there's another thing coming up, the 40 years of television.
Righty.
And also Pluckers might be doing something too.
Oh, mm-hmm. He's getting his own show.
Now, we hear around the traps there's a bit of a variety show up on Blocks at 9 at the moment. Any you're going to be involved?
No, I'm very busy on Hey Hey It's Saturday.
What can you tell us about the variety show?
All I know is, I read it in today's TV Week, and you can get that at any newsagent today. And Frankie J. Holden will be hosting. It's an old-time sort of like variety show. There'll be comedy, there'll be gags, there'll be singing. And you might even get to see the good old Sky Daddies appear on one episode.
Oh,
it's in today's TV Week.
Oh, we're not getting much here. We just can't get any exclusives.
I don't know anything. You know what it's like.
It's Project X. It's shrouded in secrecy.
It's only 60 Minutes is going to be on soon, too. You don't hear anything over it.
The whole show's being shot in the Nevada desert underground, from what I've heard. Gilbo, thanks for coming in today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for
having me. Good on you, Gilbo.
And keep pushing for some kind of special down there, because we want to hear about it the next time you come in here. And thanks for joining us today on Martin Malloy. This is Martin Malloy. We've just been enjoying a bit of Savage Garden with I Want You. And right now,
it's time to play Beat the Beasley.
Yes,
how it works. Mick and Tony have commissioned the nation's finest designers, engineers and craftsmen to construct several frighteningly lifelike replicas of Federal Opposition Leader Kim Beazley. Every day on Martin Malloy, one of these enormous structures will be dropped onto something fragile, tiny or defenseless. That is, unless you can correctly answer five questions and beat the Beazley. If you're successful, you'll win a Sanyo Olympic Home Entertainment Package, including a Sanyo widescreen TV, Sports Review VCR, enough pizza and Coke to get you through the games, and a cleaner to come to your place and deal with the aftermath. Okay, lads, roll out the Beazley.
Yes, indeed. We'd be happy to, Pete, for the final week, just one more week of Beat the Beazley. The Sanyo team are hanging in there with their prize and a half. I'm officially declaring it a prize and a half.
Okay.
It's the Olympic prize pack. And I understand for today's Beat the Beazley, a slight change of format, Mick. Mm.
Yes, we're not normally we suspend them and drop them onto something fragile and small.
Yep.
We on the weekend saw that they've started their Running of the Bulls campaign in Pamplona. So we thought, what the hay, today we'll have the first annual Running of the Beazley.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to be doing.
So if the contestant doesn't answer the questions in time, we'll open the gates.
We open the chute.
And we just let the Beazley charge through an authentic China shop we've set up.
What else? They've got a homing system. I'll find them anywhere. They don't even need the yellow pages. Let a ball go. Bang. China shop. Hello.
What about in Spain? Why don't they set up a series of China shops and have the Running of the Bulls just through like about 15 China shops in a row? I'd be watching for that. That'd get me signing up for Foxtel. Mm. But Gracie has been setting up the China shop all day. All you have to do is answer five questions successfully in the space of a minute. Call us now, 1-800-657-657. Yes, that frantic jitterbug boogie tells us it's time for another round of Beat the Beazley. We're entering the final week of this segment, and here's what we've done today. We're not suspending a Beazley. Oh, no. Mm-mm. No, we're simply bringing it into position behind the gates. And once the gates are opened, it's going to, Spanish Running of the Bulls style. Mm. Just run amok in the studio, destroying a very elaborate China shop, which Gracie has spent all day setting up for your amusement. Who's being involved in this melee, Mick Malloy?
We've roped in a young girl named Kate. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's the way. What'd you do on the weekend, Kate? Have a top
not
night?
Not much. My boyfriend's car got stolen, so he couldn't go anywhere.
Oh, no. Do you want to provide a description now? You've got a national platform.
Yeah, it's a white Ford Falcon. The number's MNZ. I can't remember what the rest is.
It's a white Ford Falcon. That'll whittle it down.
And whereabouts in the country are you calling from, Kate?
From Raymond Terrace.
Which is Newcastle.
Yes.
Okay, so if you're in the Newcastle area, be looking on the lookout for that kind of car.
And was there anything valuable in it? What did he lose? Were there a few old ELO cassettes in the dash there?
Everything. He had all his CDs and his boogie board and...
Oh, his boogie board.
Yeah.
Can you describe the boogie board, Kate? That might be the key to solving cracking this case.
Yeah.
No. Okay. All right, Kate. Well, if you win today, you will, of course, be taking home a widescreen telly and many other things. It's not the same as... It's much more fun than some old white Ford Falcon.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know how it works. We're going to be firing questions at you, and let's get things started, shall we, Gracie? We're craning the Beazley in behind the gate.
Well done.
And any second now, Ted Drain himself will be firing the gun. He's requested... Oh, here we go. Where in Spain is the Running of the Bulls taking place?
Pass.
Oh, no. Who won the men's doubles at Wimbledon?
Mike Sampras.
No, the doubles. We wanted the woodies.
What sex was the streaker at Wimbledon?
Male.
Oh, no, it's female.
What sex is Michael Jackson?
Male.
We'll accept it.
Would you like to see Michael Jackson streak at Wimbledon?
No.
Yes, correct. Correct answer.
Name a member of the royal family who plans to strut his stuff on the catwalks.
Fergie?
Yes.
Yes. Name a member of a rock band who still gets around in a school uniform.
Alice Cooper.
Oh, no. Angus Young or someone from Silverchair. We would have accepted.
Yes, Angus Young takes over 300 school uniforms with him live on tour. True or false?
True.
Yes.
And who is Australia's fastest premier? Quickly.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I'm afraid the Beazley's loose.
Okay.
Up on the table. and
rope and brand that Beasley.
The fastest premier is, of course, Jeff Kennett of Victoria, who's been arrested for speeding. The men's doubles was won by the Woodies, and the Pamploma is where the running of the balls takes place. We've been mentioning it a few times to try and help you. Sorry about that, Kate, but you've got the Martin Malloy Brown album and T-shirt, and if you don't like them, just leave them in your next car and see what happens. Thanks for playing Beat the Beasley. We'll be back with another Beasley at the same time tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Christ, not a day goes by here at Martin Malloy and Beat the Beasley. Oh, I feel so bad about Kate not winning.
So close, so close.
But we had to obey the rules, and I thought we'd made them easy.
I mean, you actually
said Pamploma about seven times
in
the centre.
I think so. Nothing much else we could have done there.
And the Woodies, they're all over the front of the paper.
The Woodies.
I don't even know who they are, but I know that they won.
The Woodies. They live in a compound.
And what was the other one, though? I was going to say that. Oh, yeah, name a member of a rock band gets around a school uniform. Everyone knows Angus, don't they?
And we would have accepted Silverchair. Oh. Coming from Newcastle, you'd think that would have come just leapt off the tongue.
And is that a true
Silverchair
fact?
Probably stole her car. Don't put it past them.
Out on a joy. They've been listening to their own music. It had affected them psychologically. And off they went on a crime spree. But what about
Silverchair in court claiming Silverchair made me do it?
Your Honour.
I'd see that. I'd been listening to the music over and over in the mix down.
But what about Angus Young's 300 school uniforms alive on tour? That's absolutely true. He has a big truck with 300 school uniforms, comes out, and before the show he goes, oh, which one am I going to wear? Are they all different?
Yeah, he puts the pretty woman music on and it's like a big shopping sequence while he tries them all on in front of the rest of the band.
And I've only ever seen him in just the one that looks like your school uniform. Has he got like a one that lights up, a neon kind of a deal, one with the
like the Electric Horsemen's? The electric school uniform.
Be a tricky one to explain in customs. Why have you got 300 young boys' school uniforms in your luggage, Mr. Young?
Does he still wear the little... Yeah, the backpack? Used to wear the back, like the school bag on the back.
Did he?
Still got one of those. I've always thought I'd love to see him jumping out of a plane with his parachute coming out the back.
And if the gig's no good, does he get the cane? Do they take him out back and cane?
I think so. He has to stand in the corner till everyone's gone. Everyone at the concert has to stay back afterwards.
Okay, Mick, I think we've exhausted that football.
Tired of blending in with the crowd? Want to really make an impression? Now you can, thanks to the geniuses at Martin Malloy. It's simply a matter of saying the wrong thing at the right time.
Mick, here comes Fiona. Now, you haven't seen her for quite a while. She's stacked on a fair bit of weight. Try not to draw attention to her.
Sure, fine.
Hi, guys.
V, how are you?
You remember Mick.
G'day. Nice to see you.
Hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. He's made no impression whatsoever. Now let's try it again, using a response from the new Martin Malloy Inappropriate Phrasebook.
Hi, guys.
Fee, how are you?
You remember Mick.
Hi, when's the baby due?
Baby? What baby?
Mick!
Now that's more like it. She won't forget him in a hurry. The Martin Malloy Inappropriate Phrasebook is chockers with hasty, rash and thoroughly inappropriate phrases for almost any situation.
They've had to remove both his legs.
Could I get those skis back? Would that be possible?
Mr. Malloy, could you blow into this bag?
Sure I could,
if I wasn't completely shit-faced.
Mick, this is Anne Marie. She's just been made vice president of the committee investigating sexual harassment in the workplace.
Wow! Who'd you have to get that job?
They'll be talking about you for months once you've dropped one of thousands of classic clangers from this utterly inappropriate phrasebook. There's lines for attending a cremation.
Do I smell burning? Is that something burning? Nah, that's burning all right. Is someone making toast?
For God's sake.
Hey, that's going to be all black and crispy. Someone open a window.
Meeting vegetarians.
I feel like chicken tonight, like chicken tonight.
Showing up at the premiere of a new Australian film.
Wow, I bet this is going to be great.
Arriving at an Aboriginal corroboree.
Hi, I'm Pauline Hanson, independent member for Oxley.
Or any occasion at all.
Hi, I'm Pauline Hanson, independent member for Oxley.
The Martin Malloy Inappropriate Phrasebook. Here's what one reader had to say.
I wish it was made from softer paper. It really hurts my bottom.
Now that's inappropriate.
on Brian Adams is you. That's all we've got time for on Martin Molloy today. Just a couple of crumbs to get out of the way. Mick, we're always looking for interesting new sporting events on this show. You've got the running of the balls. That's happening now. How many
as we speak.
Any Australians gored at the stage? I think one.
I think, was it an Australian?
I think an Australian involved. Can't say for sure.
So probably Baby John Burgess. He loves it. He's there every year. It's his favourite event.
Yeah, he'll be spending a fair bit of time there, I think, this year. But what about this for an event in Finland? They have something called the Rabbalaisin. Mm. What does that translate as? It translates as this. Win your wife's weight in beer. And what you do is you have to carry your wife across a river. And if you can get her all the way across, you win her weight in beer. It's an annual sporting event.
And where's this? Which country?
Yeah, it's in Finland.
So in Finland, say, Colin McCullough could be quite a catch. You know?
Well, would that...
You should be walking down the street and a lot of guys would just be going, cool.
Well, I hope this isn't distasteful, but is it in the interests of the husband to fatten up the wife in advance, you know, for the purposes of getting more beer?
Absolutely,
Would that go on? Come on, have another couple of cheesesteaks. Have a couple more Viennese.
Tone, in Finland, the waif looker's out. it's not encouraged at all.
Right, well, keep your eyes out for that. I hope it's getting the same kind of coverage as the running of the Bulls. Also, while we're talking Olympics, we've received a fax from Channel 7 who've announced that all their programs will not be seen while the Olympics is on. No, I'm afraid top shows like, you know, the Blue Heelers and Murder One and Ellen and all those shows, they're not going to be on. They're going to come back after the Olympics.
Yep.
But they've gone to great pains to point out in their press release that Hey Dad repeats will still be seen in the afternoons. So, Hey Dad fans can breathe a sigh.
Not even the Olympics is going to mess with the scheduling of repeats of Hey Dad.
So forget many that. Episodes, they have to keep them coming. Now, any Peter Andre news before we go?
Funny you should ask, Tone. He's, what can I tell you? He's Australian pop star Peter Andre has, this is an article I'm reading, has had to cancel 4 concerts supporting Boyzone. Because he has food poisoning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, yeah, sure you do. Everyone who was supporting Peter Andre would be supporting Boyzone would be pulling that, wouldn't they? Oh, I'm not very good today. Oh, I've been on the peanut butter. Oh, I can't come in. We just play this song on this station, and me and Tate are in the fetal position. On the floor. Oh, I can't go on.
Food poisoning. But thanks to our guests today, Russell Gilbert, Deb Clark, the Reg Barry Ensemble, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow we're going to attempt to raise the tone of the show. Mm. And what better way of doing that than getting in the architect of lateral thinking, Edward De Bono. And I thought maybe we're, you know, not in the same league. Mm. I don't know. And then I saw him on Kerri-Ann Kennelly today. I reckon we'll be fine. Edward De Bono joins us tomorrow on Martin Molloy. And until then, remember, if you can say something intelligent, come talk to us.